Today's shir is Masechta Yuma, Daf Ayin Zayin. We will begin on Daf Ayin Vav on the base, five lines from the bottom. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel, V'yishlach Tav Nisyad, the Pasuk discusses an image that Yecheskel Navi saw. I saw a hand, V'kecheni b'tzitzis roishi, and he picks it up by the strands of my head. V'tisa oisi ruach, and a wind, a ruach, takes me ben ha'aretz ben ha'shmayim, between the earth and the heaven. V'tav oisi Yerushalayim b'maris alakim, and I arrive to Yerushalayim through a vision from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'pesach shara pnimis, to the opening of the inner door, ha'poinet tzvoina, ha'sham moishu samal ha'mekana ha'nekana. Yecheskel sees in a vision of Nevuah a fire that picks up its hands and picks him up by his hands and takes him to Yisrael, to the north side, and he sees an image of something that represents kina, that takes revenge. And the pasuk continues, V'yavi Yisrael chatz beis Hashem penimis, V'inei pesach bein Hashem, pesach hechel Hashem, it's the opening of the door of the Beis HaMikdash, bein ulam ha-mizbeach, an area that we've spoken about previously in our Masechta. It's an area that's between the ulam and mizbeach, kesem v'chamesh ish, there were approximately 25 people there, echureyim al hechel Hashem, their backs are to the Beis HaMikdash, upneyim kedma, and their faces are facing eastward, v'heim m'shtachvim kedma l'shemesh, and they're bowing down towards the east, which is the opposite direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Masha Shenema Pneim Kedma. If we know that their faces are towards the east, and as we just said, the Beis HaMikdash stands in the west any day, so it's obvious that a Chareim al Hechel Hashem, their backs were to the Hechel Hashem. And Ma'atam Loimer, says the Gemara, what is meant when it says Achareim al Hechel Hashem? Says the Gemara, Shmelamet Shayipayin Atzman, they revealed themselves, Vayimetrizim, and they were using the bathroom, Klapi Mata, facing the Beis HaMikdash. Amalai Kadosh Baruch Hu to Michal. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malach Michal, who is the Sar of Kaddish of Klai Yisrael in Shemayim. And as the Mashal explains, that there were two Averas here. One is that they had brought Ketoris Tavoy Dezara, and the second Avera was, besides that they had brought Ketoris Tavoy Dezara, as the Gemara just said, they were doing this horrible activity facing the Beis HaMikdash. And as we just said, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Michal, because Michal is the Sar Shal Yisrael. And the Yavetz asks, that we know that the Gemara says, Ein Mazal Yisrael, Ein Sar Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael, unlike the Umas HaOlam, don't have a Mazal that controls them, doesn't have a Malach that controls them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are under the direct control of Kaviyoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do we understand this Gemara? So the Yavid says that even though we are indeed under the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still sends a Malach along to protect us, even though we're under his control. Another terrors that the Ben Yoyada suggests is that when is Klal Yisrael directly under the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When we're oisin ritzayna shamakim, when we're doing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us to do. But when we're not oisin ritzayna shamakim, then of course that's not the way we are taken care of. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Michal, Sarchu mascha, your people, Klal Yisrael, have done terrible aveiros, as we just described. Amal l'fan ribono shel olam. So Michal says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dai l'tovim shebehem. So just punish the people who are b'moichel them in the schus of the tzaddikim, that there are tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael, b'moichel them on the schus of the tzaddikim. Amalai, sorry for Yisrael, l'tovim shebehem. Not only don't not only will I do I want to punish the Rishonim, but I actually want to punish the Tzaddikim as well. And I saw the Tosfos Yeshayahu explains, because the Tzaddikim should have done something to control the Rishonim. And they didn't. They didn't give them Musa, they didn't stop them, so they deserve punishment as well. Miad continues the Pasuk, V'yoyme el ish levosh abadim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Gavriel, who is the Malach in charge of fire, V'yoyme bo albinus legagel tachel sekruv, go to the places where there are kruvim, those malachim that look like kruvim, umalig where there's fire, there's coals there, umalig haftach agachle ish, bebeinus lekruvim, fill up your palms with coals from that area, uzroik alair, and throw them on your shlayim, v'yovel le'enei, and then I want to see that you've done that. Miad, so the Pasuk says, v'yishlach ha'kruv es yodim ebeinus lekruvim, ele'eshe shebeinus ha'kruvim. The Pasuk says that the kruv was the one that stretched out its arm to that area, v'yitin es chofni levush abadim v'yikach v'yetzei, and put the coal in the hands of Gavriel. And the way Rashi explains that what Gavriel meant to do was that if the kruv will be the one to take out the coal, then the coal will cool off and it won't be so hot as if Gavriel took it immediately by himself. And Gavriel did it in order to protect Klal Yisrael, that they shouldn't get destroyed with such a terrible coal. Another pshat that I saw the Medrash explains, that Gavriel, even though he's in charge of fire, as we just said, cannot go into an area which has a stronger fire than he is. And this was such a powerful fire that Gavriel was concerned that he would get consumed by that fire. Amrav Chana Babizna, Amrav Shem Chsida, Imolal and Stava, if the coals that we just discussed had not gotten cooled off when they were transported from the hand of the kruv to the hand of Gavriel, nobody from Klal Yisrael would have survived Sarah the Pollard. And the Pasuk says, V'ksiv inish levush abadim, asher kesses memosus meshiv dover lemer, responds saying, asisi kashiv etzani. By Amr of Yochanan, by Yisrael, when Gavriel made a statement saying that he said, "Hatzisi kochashe tzivisani," I did as I was told. Hatzil Gavriel megachurei abahargud. They took Gavriel out from the place where he is next to the Shechina. Umiachio shultem pilta denura, and they gave him 60 makas. And I saw that the Yosef explains that what's the number 60. He says we know that when a person is mechuyev malchus, he gets 39 malchus. The reason he gets 39 malchus is because a boy becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 13. And 13 times 3 equals 39. But in Shemayim, the Beznin Shemala punishes from the age of 20. And therefore, 3 times 20 equals 60. Amalei, Eloi Vadata, Eloi Vadata. If you hadn't done what we had told you to do, we would say that the reason you didn't do it, this is the way Rashi explains, because you wanted to wait till Hashem won't be angry at Klal Yisrael, and you didn't want to be the one to cause punishment to Klal Yisrael. But you didn't do that. But what you did was, Amayla Avdika Defuktucha. Why didn't you do what you were told? Void Avdika. Even if you would have done it, Cheleslach, don't you know that there's a rule that Eim Hashim El Kakola, you don't come back with bad news? So again, the Pashup Shad is that Gavriel said that Gavriel should have if he doesn't do, he shouldn't have done it at all. So I did see that the Mefarshim say that the way to understand what happened here was that the Pasuk says in Melachim, the Mashal explains, Risi Hashem Yoshev al Kisoi, V'chol Tzva Hashemayim Oin Malov, Miminoi U'smoiloi. And the Medrash asks, V'chi Yesh Smol Mala or Yamin Mala? How do we understand left and right? So the Medrash says, Minoi means my Minaboy, people are trying to say Schus, and L'smoiloi are people who are trying to say bad. So they explain that Gavriel had nobody sticking up for him. The people who say schus say if you wanted to do good for Klal Yisrael, you shouldn't have done anything. And the people who say chayv said to Gavriel that if you wanted to do bad for Klal Yisrael, you should have done exactly as you were told. By doing what you did, you didn't satisfy anybody. So here we learn there's a halacha of ein meshivim al kalkola, which means that a person should not be the bearer of bad news. Up to the point that I saw that the halacha is, again, every situation has to be judged independently, but if somebody is aware that somebody else is an oval, and there's no reason to tell that person that he or she lost that close relative, we're better off not notifying the person that they lost this close relative. And the question is, and the reason is, ein meshivin al kalkola. But then I saw that the Paiskim ask, if indeed ein meshivin al kalkola, but this person is an oval, and there are very specific halachas that apply to an oval. They're not allowed to go to a chasna, they're not allowed to do different things. And by us telling them that this person is an oval, that by us not notifying this oval that he or she is an oval, they're going to be doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. So I saw two terutzim in the Paiskim why it's still mutter not to tell, why it's still okay not to tell the person of the situation. One explanation that I saw is that's how powerful the halacha of ein meshivin al kalkola is, that we never want to be the bearer of bad news. Another pshat that I saw, and that is that avelus doesn't begin when the person's close relative passes away. Avelus begins when the person becomes aware that their close relative passed away. And if they're not aware, so they're not avelim. And they're not avelim, and that's why there's no problem that they're going to simchas or doing things that are normally avelim should not do. And this is why I saw that the Chishuke Chemed uses this Gemara, why even if you're asked information regarding a Shidduch, the Chishuke Chemed says that Chaznish said that you were better off not saying anything. You don't want to have anything good to say. You shouldn't lie, but you shouldn't say anything bad. But then he quotes the Sefer Chassidim in Siman Tov Tov Beis, who says that even though we're learning now in the Gemara, ein meshivin al kalkola, that's only when there's no nafkamina. It's telling somebody bad news, and the person who hears the bad news can't be of help, and there's nothing that can be gained by him knowing the bad news, so then there's no point in mentioning the bad news. But if it's a situation where there's something where the person knowing the bad news can help and do something, so of course, even though the Gemara says ein meshivin al kalkola, we have to look at the big picture. It says the Gemara, aslu debiel. So at that point, since they had taken Gavriel away from being near the Shechina, they brought Dubiel, who's the Sar de Parsoi, who is the Sar of Pras in the Shemayim. And the Masha explains, why is the Sar of Pras called Dubiel? Dubiel is from Dov, a bear. And the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah says that the Parseim are similar to bears. They have a lot of hair and they can never sit still. So that's why he's called Dubiel. V'okme b'charike, and they put Dubiel in the place that until now Gavriel was standing there. V'shamish esher echvajoyim, and he was in that position for 21 days. I saw the 21 days correspond to the 3 weeks from Shivos B'Tamas to Tisha B'Av. V'anadiksiv, and that's what the pasuk says, V'sar Malchus Pras Oymed L'Negdi Esrim V'Echajoyim. He was there for 21 days. V'ini M'chol Echra Asar M'Rashayim Boil Azreni V'ni Nosati Sham Eitzah Malchus Pras. The Sar Pras was standing there with M'chol. Yovle Esrim V'Chad Malki, and they gave him the dominion over 21 kings. Or Paravasa the Mashig, they also gave him a port called Mashig. Vamak Sivala Yisrael Bakarga. And he asked, the Sar of Persi asked, that I should be allowed to take taxes from Klal Yisrael. Kosvale. So they gave him that. Sivale. So then he asked, Ksivale Rabbanim Bakargu, that the Rabbanim should have to pay tax, because Rabbanim were exempt from paying tax. So they wrote that down for him as well. Says the Gemara, in the Boil Michtam, when they wanted to seal that gzera, the Talmid Chacham should have to pay tax, Oma Gavriel Mechoria Pagad. At that point, Gavriel got up. Oma, the Pasuk says in Tehillim about the wives of Talmid Chachamim, Shav Lechem Ashkime Kum. It doesn't pay to get up early. People get up early and go to sleep late and don't enjoy the food that they eat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats the people who support their husbands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats them properly. So the way Rashi explains, what the Pasuk means to say is people who spend their lives working hard, there's really no reason to do that. Look at Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael do the right thing by staying up late or getting up early to learn. The Ritva says that what the Pasuk means to say, the Umas Olam want to cause tzoros for Klal Yisrael. But what we say to Klal Yisrael, you can't prevail over us. You can't prevail over us because we spend time, we and our families, our wives, spend so much time and effort and resources on learning Torah, you cannot prevail over us. Says the Mark Hainley Yedid of Shena. So how do we understand this Pasuk? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. The Pasuk is referring to the wives of Talmid Chachamim. They wait up late for their husbands to come home from the Beis Medrash. And because of that, Zoychus La'olam Haba, their Zoychus La'olam Haba, for the husbands, just for waiting up for the husbands. It says the Pasuk, La'ishgichulav. And still, the Malachim in the Famali Shemala did not pay attention to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he was, Greg Gavriel was trying to defend Klal Yisrael. So Gavriel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shloilem, if all of the Umas Olam will be on one side of the scale, but Daniel Ish Chamud is Bekaf Shnia, and Daniel, who we spoke about in the previous shir, will be on the second side of the scale. Le'nimtza Machriyas Kulam, isn't Daniel greater than all of the Umas Olam? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mize Shemalam Tzchus Abonai. Who's this that's saying such wonderful things about my children, about Klal Yisrael? Amar Fanav Ribbono Shel Olam, they told him, it's Gavriel. Amar Lahem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yovai. At this point, Gavriel could come back. If he's spending his time and speaking good about Klal Yisrael, he should come back. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Vani Basi B'dvarecha Amar L'Eil, let him come back, and I will. The Pasuk says, Kain Liitain Liidid of Shena. So I saw that the Ben Yoyadu says that we learned early in our Masechta that the word Kain could also be pronounced Kan as a base. The wives of the Talmid Chachamim, who support their husbands in learning and support and bring up the family in that way are a Kan, are the base, are the foundation for the entire family. So the Yitzchak Moshe explains, how do we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought back Gavriel after he was upset with him? From here says the Yitzchak Moshe that what is most special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somebody who's melamed zchus on Klal Yisrael, somebody who speaks positively about Klal Yisrael. And now that we see that Gavriel spoke positively about Klal Yisrael, so as much as somebody in the Mesil Shisharim takes this a step further, whoever causes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look positively at Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should want to do good for Klal Yisrael, such an individual is a true leader of Klal Yisrael. That's the mark, says the Mesilas Yesharim, of somebody who's worthy to be a leader of Klal Yisrael and is worthy to be raised up in the world, to be promoted, if that's the way he lives his life. So now they put back Gavriel in his place. Now they found the Baal. In fact, saw that the Shchukri Chemet says that when looking for somebody to be about tefillah on the Yom Neroim, somebody who has this midah, that he's constantly speaking positively about Klal Yisrael, he's constantly being melamed zchus on Klal Yisrael, he is the most worthy candidate. That's an important characteristic to look for somebody to be about tefillah on the Yom Neroim. Ask Ashkel Dubil, they met Dubil, the Nakal Agar to Biyadei, that the decree about taxes. Baal Amirmanei, they wanted to grab it away from him, Ubala, and he swallowed it that Gavriel should not be able to get it. Ikad Amri, Michtav Havakhsivi, some say there was written, Michtam Loi Chasma, but it wasn't sealed. Vikad Amri, Af Michtam Namichav Chasma, it was indeed even sealed. However, Kidabale, when Dubiel swallowed it, the signature got erased. The cross, and that's why we see Ikadiyov Karga, Vikadiyov Karga. Sometimes the kingdom of Pras is able to collect taxes, and sometimes they're not able to collect unjustified taxes. The Gavriel says to Daniel, Vani Oitza, Vine Sar Yovamba. He says, when the time of Yavin, of Greece, will come to take over the world, then at that point, I will leave. I won't have the ability to prevail over him. Oy vavei, and Gavriel screams out in pain at that terrible time that Gavriel cannot prevail over the Tsar Yavin, the Lekadezhuk boy, but he had no one who could help him to nullify that terrible gzeira. Says the Gemara, we learned in the previous year that how do we know that Ruchitza is considered one of the Inuyim on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara, and that's how we got into this whole sugya, quoted the pasuk by Daniel that says, V'soich loisachti. Says the Gemara, V'bay seima, there's another way we can learn that what is the source, how we know that Ruchitza is an Inuy. Ruchitza the ikri irinui minola mehacha. The Ksiv, the pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech killed Adoniyahu's brother, who rebelled against him and wanted to be king. And Avyasa Akoyin had joined with Adoniyahu. So the pasuk says, Avyasa Akoyin Emel HaMelech. And Avyasa Akoyin says to the king, Anosus L'cha Asotcha. To Avyasa Akoyin, the king says, Anosus L'cha Asodecha. You should be left in your field. Kimish Mavsata. You are deserving of death for what you have done. However, b'zayim hazeh lo yamisecha, today I won't kill you. Ki nasasa asaroi Hashem al kim lefnei David avdi, you did the avoid of carrying the Aron, you were loyal to my father. V'chesenesa b'chol asher hasani avi. When my father was in pain, when he ran away from Avshalom, you had joined with my father, and in recognition of that, I will not kill you. And says the Gemara, V'ksibe b'David, so we see whatever happened to David happened to Avyasa. And it says by David, K'amra amroi v'yoi v'tzame b'midbar. That at that time, when they were in pain from running away from Avshalom, they were rav oyev v'tzame. Rav, milachim, they didn't have what to eat. Tzame, shemayim, they didn't have water to drink. Oyev mimai, what does oyev mean? Lav rechitz. So we see that the situation of inui means rechitzah. Ask the Gemara, who says that that's what Oyef means? Maybe Oyef means dima minilas a sandal, that they weren't able to wear shoes. El amar b'yitzah mihocha. Mayim karim, putting cold water al nefesh ayefa. So we see that water, that Oyef is connected to washing oneself. Says the Gemara, that pasuk doesn't necessarily prove that it means washing. Dilma, what the pasuk means is mishtia, that one didn't drink. And that's what the Mayim Karm, the cold water, referred to. Says the Gemara, Mikse bin Nefesh Ayefa. If the Pasuk would have said, into a tired body, that would be a proof that the Mayim Karm that's referred to there is referred to drinking. It says, Al Nefesh Ayefa. When you drink, the water isn't on, it's in you. Says the Gemara. So now, we learned in the Mishnah, that one of the inuyim, one of the things that we have to do on Yom Kippur is not wear shoes. Ask the Gemara, v'nilas asandam anolam. How do we know we may not wear shoes on Yom Kippur? The Ksiv, the Pasuk, again, referring to when David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom. The Pasuk says, v'david ala b'mal sazeisen, oyla u'baycha, he's going up crying, v'roi shaloi chafui, v'hoi lech yachaf. What's the definition of Yachlus? Says the Gemara, Lam, Nilsa Sandal. So we see that Nilsa Sandal is included in Inui, because as we quoted the Pasuk earlier, the Pasuk says that everything that David HaMelech experienced as he was running away from Avshalom is in the category of Inui, because the Pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech said to Avyasur, V'chi HaKoyin, V'chi Esneisa B'chol HaShosane Avi. So we see that he experienced Inui. V'dilma, says the Gemara, maybe what Hoylech Yachav means, Betosya Metarka, that he wasn't able to ride on a horse, as a king is normally able to ride on. Says the Gemara, Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mihacha. The Pasuk says, by Yishaya, the Pasuk says, Lech ufatachta sakach ma'al masna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yishaya, open up your sack, v'nalcha tachlis ma'al reglecha, take off your shoes, v'ksiv yaskein holoch v'arev yachav. My yachav, la'minil sasandal. So we see that the word yachav means not wearing shoes. Says the Gemara v'ema, maybe what it means to say that he wore shoes, but he wore minloim hatuloim, torn shoes. But it doesn't mean they had to take off his shoes entirely. Dilo tema hacha, and the Gemara brings a proof that that is what maybe it means. Dilo tema hachi arim mamish. When it says arim, that he went without clothing, doesn't mean arim mamish that he had absolutely no clothing on. It's inconceivable to say. Ella begodim beluim, he went with torn clothing. Hachnami benoim hatuloim, he went with torn shoes. So we still don't have a raya that Yachav, or that not wearing that you're not allowed to wear shoes at all. Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mihacha. The pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Menech Raglech Miyachav, that the pasuk says if Klal Yisrael will do tshuva, they will not need to go into Golus. And the pasuk says Menech Raglech Miyachav, your shoes, you won't have to wear shoes. You won't have to be Yachav. Groinch Mitzmeya. Menei Atzma Menachet. And the pasuk is telling Klal Yisrael, avoid doing averus, kedosh lo yover raglech dayichov, so you shouldn't have to go yachov, which means without any shoes. Umnei loshem medibarim b'talim, that don't speak what you're not supposed to speak, because that will save you, kedosh lo yover groinach ledeitzim, that you won't be thirsty. Tashmish shamita, dikri inu minolan. How do you know that tashmish shamita is considered an inui? Diksiv, Lovin says to Yaakov, as Yaakov is going away from Lovin's home, Imtanis benoisai v'mtikach noshim al benoisai. Lovin told Yaakov, Inu, you have to be careful not to make Inu to my children. Imtanai, what does Imtanai mean? Mitashmish, don't hold back for having the proper tashmish with my daughters, your wives. V'mtikach, he meant was don't bring tzoris into the home. So you see that Inu refers to not having children, not having tashmish. Ask the Gemara, who says that's the way to interpret the Pasuk? Ve'ema, maybe the way to interpret the Pasuk is Idi Idi Mitzaris, that both Pesukim, both refer that he shouldn't take another, more wives, and it's not referring about Tashmish at all. Says the Gemara, Miksiv Im Tikach Noshim, if it would have said Im, so it would mean that Imtanis Benoisai, Im Tikach Noshim Abenoisai, one is the interpretation, the Imtana, and imtikach is explanation what Tana means. But by using the word, by using the letter Vav, vimtikach, it means that he was telling him two separate statements, two separate requests. One is don't hold back Tashmish and don't bring other wives into the family. Veima. But the Gemara persists. Maybe what it means is, Idi v'idi mitzaris, Lovin was warning Yaakov, don't bring other wives into the family. And one was referring to Chalot Tzaris the day, that Bilhah and Zilpah, to whom Yaakov was already married, he was telling them, don't treat them, don't elevate them to the same level as Rachel and Leah. And the other requirement he was saying was Chalot Tzaris Aslim Alma, that you can't marry other women altogether. Says the Gemara, Domi Dem Tikach. So if that, and the advantage, says the Gemara of that pshat, is that both statements are both in the same type of statement. Says the Gemara, Miksiv im tikach v'mtana. If the pasuk would have just said, first said im tikach v'mtana, then maybe that would be right pshat. But the pasuk says in the other order, imtana v'mtikach siv. First it says imtana, and then it says v'mtikach. And if the pshat is, like the Gemara is suggesting now, don't make Bilhah and Zilpah equal to Rachel and Leah, that and also don't take other wives, he should have first spoken about not taking other wives. Making Bilhah and Zilpah equal to Rachel and Leah is much less of a should be much less of a concern to Lavan than taking other wives. The fact that he spoke about Imtikach second, it's a clear indication that Mtana doesn't mean, as we're trying to suggest, that don't make Bilhah and Zilpah equal to Rachel and Leah, but rather Imtana means don't take other, don't hold back the wives from, don't hold it, hold back from Tashma Shemitah. So the Tosfos Yom Kippurim actually has a discussion here. What is a bigger, what was worse, what would have been worse for Rachel and Leah? If he would hold back from Tashmish or not, or take other wives? Amalei Papa Labaya, Tashmish Gufa Ina Ikra. We could bring a raya that Tashmish is called Inui. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says that Shechem ben Chamor, when he had relations with Dina, says Vayishkav Oisa V'yanel. So we say that Inui, the Tashmish is called Inui. And if that's the case, we don't have a raya that Tana means to hold back from Tashmish. Maybe what it means is that to have too much Tashmish. Hasalam, Amalei Hasam Inam and Bias Acheris, that he had too much, that he she wanted to have relations with him and he declined. So we see that there too the word Inui refers to not having Tashmish, and that's how we know that not having Tashmish is an Inui. Tana Abanan, so we learned previously at the beginning of the Perek that in Yom Kippur, Rechitz and Sichar Asr. Says the Tana Abanan, Asr Lechitz Mixus Gufay Kigal Gufay. One may not wash even part of his body, just like he's not allowed to wash all of his body. However, if his body, if he's dirty, then he could wash as normal, and he doesn't have to worry about rechitza. Because since it's not being done, l'shem tanik, it's not being done for enjoyment, it's being done because he's dirty, that's why it's mutter. So certainly, explained Rishonim, if, as we've discussed a number of times, this rechitza is only an issa d'rabbanan, so then we could very well understand this Gemara. Chazal indeed said there's an issa d'rabbanan to wash in Yom Kippur, but in a time where there's dirt, there Chazal did not make an issur to wash oneself on Yom Kippur. But explain Duran, that even according to the opinions that the issa rechitza is an issa d'raisa, since we find that the Torah left it up to Chazal to interpret, to define what is Inui and what isn't Inui, so Chazal could say that even though washing oneself is in the category of Inui, and not only is it in the category of Inui, but it's an Inui deraisa, but they could say only under certain circumstances. And when it's a circumstance, as we're learning now, it's not in that category. Asa losuch, one may not smear himself with oil, mixes gufoi, even part of his body, kagol gufoi, as he may not wash his, anoint his entire body. But if unfortunately he's sick, and part of the treatment is to wash oneself, he has boils or wounds on his head, and he needs to smear himself, then he could do what he needs to do, and he has nothing to worry about. So the Urayim differentiates between washing part of the body and washing the whole body. He says wash, because he goes back to the discussion that we spoke about a moment ago, and he says that even the Rishonim that hold that Rechitz is also on Yom Kippur Medaraisa, they only hold that the entire body washing is also Medaraisa. But washing part of one's body is only also Medarabonon, and that's why they were lenient on Mixus Gufay and not on Kol Gufay. However, certainly says the Maraim Sada, that even though people typically wash only part of their body, one may not do so on Yom Kippur unless they have the special circumstances that were identified in our Gemara. So here we said that if somebody is sick, he has wounds or whatever, he could smear oil on his body even on Yom Kippur. So the Tosfos Yeshanim asks that we learned, we know in Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara says that in Shabbos you're not allowed to do anything that's Letzorech Refuah, because you may come L'shchikas M'monim, you may come to make medicine. So if the person is putting on the oil in the Gemara that we're learning because that's for Refuah, why is it Mutter? So the Meiri explains that what the Gemara here is referring to is that person is putting on oil in a way that healthy people put it on. And since it's the way that people healthy put it on, that's why there's no problem of refuah. So the Rosh Hash asks on that teretz of the Meiri. He says, on Shabbos, we could understand that. On Shabbos, even though we know and we've discussed that one may not take medicine on Shabbos or do a medical treatment on Shabbos, unless it's a Sakonis Nefashis. However, if it's something that even healthy people do, that's not considered in the category of refuah. But in Rosh Hash asks, on Yom Kippur, no healthy people, as we just learned in the Gemara, put on oil. And since healthy people don't put on oil, by definition, putting oil on Yom Kippur is in the category of refuah. And if it's in the category of refuah, so how could the Gemara say that if the person has these wounds, he could put it on? So he says that the Bi'ur Halacha explains that if a person puts it on and it's not his intention to make a refuah, then it's mutter, even though he is going to have a refuah. So he says that since sicha, one could argue he's doing the sicha not deliberately for refuah, even though it's Yom Kippur, it would be mutter. Tanit Beim Amnasha. Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Medicha Isha Yada Achas B'mayim, a woman can wash one hand in water, V'naisenes Pasla Tinuk, in order to give food to a child to eat on Yom Kippur. Veina chasheshes, and there's no problem of rechitza on Yom Kippur. Amrullah, however, says the Gemara, Amrullah al Shammai Zakun, they said regarding Shammai Zakun, Shlei Rotz lahachal biyadei achas, he did not want to feed his child in Yom Kippur with one hand. The Gazrullah, and what happened was, because he acted that way, his child went hungry. And we have to worry about the sakonos nefashos of the child. So what they made him do was, the gozer olav, him they made, they made him feed the child with both hands. And because he had to feed the child with both hands, he had to wash both hands. But ask the Gemara, my Tama, what is the reason that one has to wash his hands before he feeds his child? Answers the Gemara, Amra Baya, Mishum Shifsa. There's a special Ruach Ra, and the way Rashi explains, this is the Ruach Ra that we know is on everybody's hand in the morning, and we can't touch food until that Ruach Ra is removed by washing our hands. So from the way Rashi is learning the Gemara, it seems that only if one wants to touch food, he has to be careful to wash his hands to take off that Ruach Ra. But if you're not feeding your children, you're not touching food, there's no reason to wash your hands. Taisus the Remaskel Meshum and the Rosh disagree. And they say that the Ruach Ra that's on everybody's hand in the morning is on everybody's hand, and nobody could touch even any part of his body before he washes off, which as we know as Negelvasser, every morning. So Taisus Rosh therefore explained that what Shufsa means is that there's a different Ruach Ra. There's a Ruach Ra, not the Ruach Ra that we know is on everybody's hands in the morning. That Ruach Ra, everybody's allowed to wash, even Negel Vasa on Yom Kippur, because we have to get off that Ruach Ra. But there was a different Ruach Ra that was in the time of Chazal called Shifsa. And that Ruach Ra affected children unless you washed your hand before you fed your children. And therefore, that's the Ruach Ra that the Gemara says, that if one is feeding their children on Yom Kippur, they can wash their hands because of that. And Taisus continues to say that Ruach Ra doesn't exist amongst us. And Taisus goes on to say that not only does that Ruach Ra of Shifsa, which according to Taisus is this unique Ruach Ra that affected children if you gave them to eat without washing your hands, He says that that Ruach Ra doesn't apply nowadays. And then Taisva says that the Gemara often speaks about Gilui. One is not allowed to leave liquids uncovered. And Taisva says that Gilui doesn't apply Bezman Hazeh either. The world of Ruach Ra sort of changed. Tana Rabbanan continues the Gemara. Ha'hoylech lahagba p'nei oviv p'nei rabbi p'nei misha gomimenu. Are you going to greet your father, your Rebbe, or somebody who's greater than you? And he has to walk in water, and it's Yom Kippur. The halacha is oiva atzavar b'mayim. He can walk up to his neck in water, v'ein achoshish. And he need not be concerned about rechitza. And of course the Rishonim ask that why is there no concern of schita? If you're going to walk through the water, in such a serious amount of water, then why isn't there rechitza? So the halacha is that since this is not the normal, so one Teretz to Rishonim suggests, since this is not the normal way how people wash their clothing, when are we concerned for schita? If you got your clothing wet in a normal fashion of getting your clothing wet, but here it's not the normal fashion how a person gets his clothing wet, so we don't have to worry about rechitza. Tosfos Yeshanim says that's letzorech mitzvah, you're allowed to do it. And here we're doing it, he's going here to tzorech mitzvah, so the whole chash of schita is shema yischot, you may squeeze, but here we don't have to worry. Another pshat that they saw is that why is there, another question that I saw the Rishonim ask, is that why isn't this considered libun? Isn't it considered that you're cleaning your clothing by walking through water? So the Rishonim say that the only time we have to worry about libun is if your clothing is dirty. Here the clothing we're referring to is clothing which is not dirty. Another pshat that the Rebbeinu Tam says that there's a way to wash your clothing. By walking through a puddle of water, that's not the way of washing your clothing. And since that's not the way to wash your clothing, then that's not considered rechitza, that's also on Shabbos. It's interesting that the Sefer Chashuki Chemed, as he discusses this Gemara, says that as much as we have to be concerned about walking through water on Yom Kippur, but on the other hand, as we just said, it's you may do it in order to go greet a great person. He says that when you're going in such a trip, that our Gemara says you're allowed to, even though it involves, in a way, violating the halachos of Yom Kippur, but to greet your Rebbe, to greet your father, you're allowed to. So the Chashukei Chemed says that if somebody is going to a Rav, to a Adam Gadol for the Yom Tovim, he should take along his children. That's part of the mitzvah, as we find that Moshe Rabbeinu told Paroi, B'nareinu v'zakneinu neilech. Bailu, harav etzal talmud mai. So we just discussed about a talmud, how he's going to greet his Rebbe, what he's allowed to do. What about the vice versa, the Rebbe to the talmud? Tashma, Dom Rabbi Yitzchak bar Chana, Anoch Azite Lazeri, I saw Ziri, the Ozel Gabra Chir Barashi Talmidai, that he went to greet his talmud and he walked through water. Ravashi Omer, Ravashi says you can't bring a raya from that story, because it was Hahu, that story wasn't that Ziri went to his Talmud, Rav Chiya bar Ashi, but rather the story evolved, Rav Chiya bar Ashi, who the Ozel Gabba, the Ziri, the Rebbe. He was going to greet his Rebbe. And of course, we just learned that a Talmud may greet his Rebbe that way, but we don't have an answer to our question. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashar Levnei Avi Yamina, Rav allowed the people who lived in the city of Avi Yamina, Levmeva B'mayim Laturi Peri, that they could go through a river on Yom Kippur if the purpose of going there was to protect their fruit, their fields. Amalei Abaye LeRava, Tanya the Messiah, I'll bring you a brisa that supports your opinion. The brisa says, Shmaim Rei Peris, Ivrim at Savar B'mayim, that people who are going to protect the fields could walk up to their necks in water. Vein Choshim, they need not be worried about the Issa Rechitza. Rabbi Yosef Sharlu L'bnei by Tarbu, he allowed the people of the city of Tarbu, Lamar B'mayim, to walk through water, L'meis L'mirvka, in order to hear the drasha. Apparently the Rabbanim would say a special drasha on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, however, Lamezel to go back home, Lasharlu. He allowed them to go, but he didn't let them go back. And the Torah says that the heter to go back is if somebody's going for a dvar mitzvah. But if somebody's going to because he wants to protect his assets, even though the Gemara just said that you're allowed to go, but if you went for a dvar mitzvah, that you're not, you could go back. If you went because of Hefsa Mammon, you could go, but you can't go back. And the Torah Zov explains that what's the reason we allow you to go back if you went for Dvar Mitzvah? Because if we will not allow you to go back, the next time you won't want to go. By Hefsa Mammon, we're not worried that you're not going to want to go the next time. And therefore for Dvar Mitzvah, since we want to make sure that he's going to do the mitzvah the next time, we let him go. And that's why many Rabbanim allow Hatzolah members to go back home after they went on a Hatzolah call, for we are concerned that if we will not allow them, they won't go next time. Ikdam Shorle Lameisim, that he allowed him to go, Vishorle Lameisel, and he let him go back. I could understand why you let him go. Why did you let him come back home? Says the Gemara, but as we just saw, the Torah says that that's only when he went for Dvar Mitzvah, not by Hefsa Mammon. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, have a kaima guda de nahar. They were standing by the beach, a maver de chatzdata, in a place called Chatzadad. They have a koi rami by papa mahakisa, and rami by papa was on the other side of the river. Ramalu koila, they raised a voice, and they asked, ma lamaver lamaisa lagabaych lamel shoshata? Are we allowed to pass through the river to go ask you a shayla? Amalei Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel amri tavayu, over, a person can walk through the river. He has to be careful not to pick up his clothing, because somebody will see him walking that way, will be concerned that he is trying, he's carrying the clothing. So, of course, the Isra Chitz, as we learned, under certain circumstances, we're being lenient about, but we're not being lenient about carrying on Yom Kippur. That we learned in the Brice that the Aloch is, you let it go, you're not allowed to take out your hands from your pocket. The difference between the two Lashonis, in the first Gersa, Rav Yehuda said it in the name of Rav and Shmuel, and in the second Gersa, Rav Shmuel by Yehuda said it in the name of a Braisa. But there is no substantial difference in Halacha between the two versions. Maskler of Yosef, how can we say that you can walk through the water up to your neck? B'chol mikavne mishari. Could somebody ever walk through water up to his neck? V'ksiv. The pasuk says in the Nevuah of Yecheskel regarding the river that's going to come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're going to discuss it, Mitzvah Shem, in the Bayis Shlishi. The pasuk says v'yomad be'elef ba'ama. I measured 1,000 ama. V'yavireini b'mayim mei afasim. The water went up only to the knees. Mikan to the ankles. Mikan shemot alav al adafasayim, that you can walk in water that reaches your ankles. V'yomer elef yavirein b'mayim may b'kayim, and they walked another 1,000 amah, and the water reached their knees. Mikan shemot alav al b'kayim, that you can walk through a place where the water reaches your knees. V'yomer elef yavirein may misnayim, that went up to the hips. Mikan shemot alav your ladder. Walk in water that reaches your hips. Mikan ve'elech, but if it goes higher than that, V'yoyven be'elef, that the water kept on getting higher, and it was nachla shloi ochalaver, that you can walk there. So how can we suggest that you can walk in water up to your neck? Answers the Gemara, Amabai shayin nachal the redifimayim. There's a difference when the water is going with a strong current. When it's going with a strong current, we have to be careful. But if it's not that way, if it's stationary, we need not be concerned. Yochel yavirenu. The pasuk says, "Ashloi uchalaver." It was water that I cannot pass. Maybe I can't walk there with my feet, but maybe yachavrena besichui. Maybe I could go through swimming. Tamlam could go hamayim meisachu, mayim meisachu shuta. She can't carl shaita saicha. It was the water was water that you could swim, but still, because it was so powerful, they weren't allowed to go through it. So maybe you can't swim it. But Yochel Yavirena Beburni Katana, they should pass it with a small boat. Tamaloimer Batelch by Anishayit. You can't pass it even with a small boat. Yochel Yavirena Beburni Gedoyla. A small boat, we have to worry with capsize. But maybe we should allow him to go in a big boat. Tamaloimer Vetsi Adilo Yavirena. Ask them on my mashma, what does that mean? Kedetagner of Yosel Atezabai Besiyat Sayodim. Don't go on a, don't pass that water with the boat of people who go out hunting, fishing, which is small water, a small boat, and don't go through that water with a large boat or either. Even the Mal Chamovis cannot pass through that water. I cannot pass through and travel even through that water. And I saw that the Sfarim explained what was he saying, that the water represents Tahara, the water represents Mayim, represents Torah, and the Satan was saying, when Klal Yisrael is attached to Torah, they're attached to Tahara, and I cannot prevail over them when Klal Yisrael is connected to the Torah.